Did we get our handouts tonight? Did anybody not get the handout? Make sure we have them out on the patio for the latecomers, those that are sitting out there. Okay? We are doing a summer series here on discipleship, understanding what discipleship really is. Okay? By the way, there's two things Jack did not get from me, that voice and his hair. Okay? Don't know where that stuff came from, but it didn't come from Dad. I throw that out there. Okay. Let's talk about discipleship, what it means. Now, last week we looked at Jesus' admonition about discipleship, and we saw the requirements that he gave, and they were tough. We try to in Christianity today to lower the requirements. Say, let's make it easy and take away some things, and everybody will jump on board. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, in some instances, you can't be my disciple. We saw that not everyone who says they are a disciple or wants to be a disciple really is or really are. Being a disciple is a decision that we make. We get saved, we decide to trust Christ as our Savior. Becoming a disciple is that next step. It's kind of like when we got saved, the picture of that is the Red Sea. The picture of really becoming a disciple is deciding to live in the promised land is going through the Jordan River. And so that's the decision we have to make if we're going to be a disciple. That means there's a path that we will follow that helps us to grow to become a better disciple. The Christian life is really nothing more than a life of growth. We constantly are to become more of what God desires for us. Part of growing is understanding where we are at, where we need to go, and how we're going to get there. That's really important. And it's important for us as a church to understand that about each other. When you have a church where you have people that have been saved for a long time, people that are kind of mid-range, and people that are new just coming in, we're at all different levels, and we need to understand that if we're going to have unity. Now, when it comes to our church, and this isn't what we're going through tonight, but we have some basic steps of growth to help people understand our church and some steps they can take as they come to church, they figure us out, you know, making sure they're saved, making sure they start having this relationship with God and get them into an adult Bible class, getting them to decide if this is their church, they need to decide and become a member and then discipleship and give all those things. But there are other areas, but in the Bible, there's some area of growth that I want us to look at tonight. There are different levels. All of us need to know them so we can progress, and we can also help others if we are involved in ministry to progress. Like when our children grow, depending on their age and maturity level, we understand their actions better. I don't expect Emily to have the same maturity level as my oldest daughter, Jessica. There's a 20-year difference there. So one's an adult. I get it. I'm not going to throw the keys to the car and tell Emily, go down to the store and get something. And if Jessica needs to go to the store, I'll throw the keys to the car and says, I'm not taking you. You can go. Tonight, I want to look and start us out as looking on these six levels of spiritual growth. I think these can be very beneficial to us for several reasons. First of all, it helps us to understand new believers. As we have people coming into the church, sometimes we in our zeal for God, allegedly, we blow new people out of the water. We expect something of a new believer. And by the way, it's not our responsibility to be the spiritual police. We preach and teach the truth, and if someone allows us to have influence, we help them, but ultimately they need to make those decisions. But we can understand the new believers in our church. It also helps us to understand each other, okay? Different people and different levels they're at, and it's okay. And more importantly, and also just as important, I guess I would say, is it helps us to understand ourselves. What do I need to do? Where am I at? Am I regressing? Am I going forward? Many believers have been prevented from understanding and applying the truths of God's word and messages they hear because of their immaturity. you know, I have I can't talk the same way as to my 4-year-old granddaughter as I would to Jack, who just graduated from high school. Okay, they're at different maturity levels. So my oldest granddaughter, she's not going to get it. She's not going to understand it. And sometimes we have that trouble. It's like parents that try to reason with a 2-year-old. You don't reason with a 2-year-old. You tell them what to do. If you knew that. Oh, no, but we're just going to. No, we're not going to just nothing. It's a 2-year-old. They're not going to get it. Now, your teenagers, you might want to explain to them what's going on and help them to get it. But a 2-year-old, we don't do that. Everybody's at a different level. A spiritual child or someone young in the faith will not understand the deep truths of God's word. It's beyond their spiritual reasoning. And that's okay. The big thing is, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, direction. What direction are we going? But we need to understand that. It doesn't bother me, but it's amazing how many times somebody will come to me and, you know, they'll come about a situation or something in life, and they're coming to church here, and they'll give me what they're going to do, and I'm just thinking, man, have you ever listened to anything that's been said behind this pulpit, or have you ever got something out of what the Bible? That's ridiculous. I don't tell them that. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but sometimes, and I'm like, we just talked about that like 2 Sunday mornings ago. But sometimes we need to realize they're still struggling with understanding it. Yeah. What spiritual level are they on? Some of us, though, if we're not careful and we need to check ourselves over the next few weeks, maybe we've regressed back to a level maybe we regress back to acting at a certain level that we should have already grown through. And so we all need to look at ourselves. A person may have been saved for many years, but yet still be in an infant or a younger stage, spiritually speaking. It's not how long you've been a Christian, but how far have you grown? Have you seen these? And I saw one a few years ago, a story about, it's some disease where the person physically ages 1 year in a 4-year period. How many know what I'm talking about? So in other words, a child that's 4 years old will have the appearance of a 1-year-old. They grow slower. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to live longer. There's other issues that are taking place. I forget what the name of the disease is, but they had some guy, and he looked like he was 11. He was like 44. So their age is this, but yet he looks like 11-year-old. Seems like sometimes that's true of a lot of Christians. I've been saved for 10 years, but if we looked on the outside physically, what really age we are spiritually, I wonder if we'd all look just a little bit different. That's what we need to look at. Look at the verse there in your sheet, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, Paul, here's, I believe, well, no one knows who wrote Hebrews. I have a suspicion it may have been Paul, but that's not here nor there. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." He said, listen, you are old enough, spiritually speaking, that you ought to be able to teach others, but you're not, spiritually speaking, you're still down at a child level, and you have need that someone teaches you the basic things. The basic things in the Bible are called milk. What they were saying here, I believe Paul, but God is saying it, the Hebrew Christians' level didn't match their age. Paul was also grieved with the same problem with the Corinthian believers. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 on your sheet there. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He says, listen, you guys have so many issues going on in the church, and they did, that he said, I can't even talk to you. I have to talk to you like a baby. I can't talk to you like the Christian you really should be. Now, part of that was carnality, and we'll look at that in a minute. Because when we first get saved, we bring that, we're still just saved, and we still kind of have that carnal nature we haven't quite started working on yet. What is spiritual maturity? I think it's on your paper there. True spiritual maturity is the ability to recognize what is right and what is wrong. That's part of it. Part of that is also, as James tells us, but we're going to stick to this tonight, where it talks about learning patience through trials and so forth, because as you grow older, you become more patient. But part of it here, he tells us in Hebrew, it's learning what, being able to recognize what's right and wrong. Hebrews chapter 5. We looked at verse 12 when he got on them, because they should have been teachers. It says, for everyone that useth milk, remember he said, I can't feed you meat, I got to go back to milk, the basics of Scripture. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You don't get it. You don't understand the word yet. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says, one of the things here that show that you've matured in your age and you're ready for meat is because you're taking all of the things that you've learned from Scripture and you're putting it into practice. And because that, you're starting to get discernment so you understand what is right and what is wrong. That's very important. Now, with that as a backdrop, we won't get through them tonight, but I want us to look at the six levels of spiritual growth, biblically speaking. And I want us to see some things about each level that'll help us, first of all, to understand others who are new, and secondly, to help us to if we're at a level, to get to the next level and understand each other. First of all, number one, if we've mentioned it several times, the first level is a babe. Not the kind of babe you're thinking. Hey, babe, not that. Okay, spiritual babe. New Christian. Just received Christ. He mentioned it in Hebrews when he talked about their spiritual level. You're like babes. Also, you see the verse there in 1 Peter 2:2. We'll refer back to it again in a minute. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The first level, babe, we enter into the moment we receive Christ. The moment we receive Christ, the Bible talks about being saved, but it also talks about being born again. Our spirit, which was dead in trespasses and sin, was condemned to eternal hell, is now made alive by the Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 2, and now we're quickened. Our spirit's been born again. We're babes in Christ. Look at the little thing there. A babe is one that needs to be fed and nourished, taken care of. You see a baby, you have to be real gentle with them. Now, we've had seven of them. After the first couple, you kind of catch it. But I remember the last one we had, Emily. We were at the hospital, and I was in there, and I think my wife was laying in the bed, and Emily was in a little plastic thing, and I crawled up in the bed, and I was laying next to my wife, and we were just chit-chatting. I looked across the room, and there was first-time dad. And he was going to pick the baby up, and he kind of walked up, and he's like, it's like, how do I do this? I don't want to break it. And he was trying to be gentle. I felt like picking up Emily and saying, hey, look, after you have a couple, you can spin them on your fingers. You know? Okay, you know. And I remember our first one, it's like that. It's like, oh, you know, their neck is kind of all, and you're like, you're real care. You know what I'm talking about? Nourishing and taking care of them. Then they eat every cup. But that's what a baby needs. They need that nourishment. They need that coddling and taking care of so that they can grow. Nothing wrong with that. This level is not always determined by physical age or spiritual age, but by spiritual maturity. As we go through some of these, I want you to see if maybe in some of these areas we have some of these things in our life that we probably shouldn't have, that we probably should have grown through. And by the way, if you're a new Christian and somebody's, hey, that's me. I know, you're a new Christian. You're going forward. That's okay. That's just part of life. Look at letter A. Look at some of the characteristics of a babe. They resist limitations. They resist limitations. Proverbs, Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Go astray means get away. We're leaving this. We're getting as far away from it as we can. It's over there. I'm going over here. See, when we first got saved, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. We're a new creature in Christ, and we have the new life. But when we first got saved, those sinful characteristics are still right there. We're going to grow past those now. And the reason we'll be able to grow past those is because the Spirit of God now dwells inside of us. And He's going to help us on that path to get past all of these things. That's why it's the wicked, as soon as they're born, man, they don't want to have restrictions. Salvation gave us a spirit, new life, so we can overcome it. By the way, this is why, if we look at it, why did the children of Israel have so much trouble when they first came out of Egypt? Why? Because God brought them out of Egypt, which is a picture of salvation, but a little bit of Egypt still dwelt inside of them. They still had that. Remember, I preached a message several months ago on the party's over so soon. I mean, they weren't out of Egypt. They left the Red Sea 3 days, and man, they were already griping and complaining. I said, that didn't take long. Why? Egypt was still inside of them. And many of them didn't ever get that out of them, and so God said, fine, you want to die in the wilderness? That's what you're praying for? I'm going to answer your prayer. We'll deal with your children, and you can die. But that happens. We still have those characteristics, and so we're going to fight them. We have to get over them. I remember as a new Christian, I was serving God, and I was starting to go forward, but I was still a new Christian. And I remember I was riding home from work one day on my motorcycle, and I was having a great day. I was loving God, reading my Bible, and this guy started doing something to me, and he said, and I did something very inappropriate back to him. Flipped him off. And as soon as I did, I thought, man, that's not right. I just read my Bible this morning. I just prayed, and I was smitten, but it's like, you know what? I'm not saying that was right, but it's like I was still pretty close to the event, if you know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore. Can't. But it sure did feel good. Just kidding. But you know, Christians today, you know what's going on in Christianity? We resist limitations. Now, by the way, let me say this. Christian life isn't limitations. Christian life is about we're saved now, we overcome sin, we have freedoms. But there are some things in the Bible that would limit our freedoms. And so we need to be careful about that. The word that makes my blood boil is legalism. Ah! You Christians have lists. Well, no, not really. By the way, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Kind of sounds like a list. By the way, just keeping those things doesn't make you a good Christian. Yeah. Well, I keep this list of 10 things. Great. Do you read your Bible? You know, do you love God? Do you spend time with Him? Oh, I do these 10. I know. But there are things we have to be careful about. Yeah. And God doesn't limit us to restrict us. He limits us to keep us from things that are harmful and hurtful to our spiritual growth. By the way, parents, don't you do that. Maybe I get a little more nervous, you know, when we had babies and so forth and they don't move, you know, so you can lay them on the couch. I always was nervous about that. Like, that kid's going to start moving. I know it. And there's been times we put the kid on the bed and you come in and they're laying on the floor. And it's like, man, that angel must have caught that kid. But it's like, don't do that. The kid's moving now. Put them in a playpen or a closet or something. Be careful with them. I'm just real careful. The limitations aren't there to hurt us. They're there to help us. Look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Things that would hurt us. Thou shalt. Things that would help us. We're looking at it the wrong way. See, we're looking at it from the point of a babe. Can't do that now. You know the reason you can't do that? Because you get yourself in trouble. It could hurt us. Amen. And the last thing God wants is for us to get hurt. God loves us too much. You give your kids. By the way, that's why, we'll just throw this in. That's why our society is so messed up. That's why children are so messed up. Because our society has pushed the lie, don't give restrictions. Don't give limitations. Really? So that six-year-old knows pretty much what they need to do. Six-year-old can't think past lunch. In fact, the man can't think past breakfast, and he already had it. So we need to be very careful. Limitations are good for us. Obeying the word of God is not legalism. By the way, legalism, they always go to Galatians. We know what Galatians is talking about, adding works to salvation. That's legalism, keeping the law to be saved. Because they came into the Galatian church and said, well, yeah, you trust Christ, but it's not just Christ. You got to trust life and keep the law. Nope, that's legalism. Yeah. We don't keep the law or keep the things in the Bible that God commands us to be saved. We keep them because we are saved and God's trying to help. I love this verse in, here we go too. I have liberty in Christ. A guy came to me many years ago at the old building, men's prayer. And he was a guy that was coming off and on, and he wanted to debate with something about it. We were just talking, and I'm like, Doc, have you been drinking? Yeah, I was drinking before I came here. I said, don't sit here and debate with me about the Bible if you're drinking. I don't have time for you. And I knew him. I wasn't just being rude. Okay? You don't have enough spiritual awe. And I have liberty in Christ, brother. Maybe you don't. You don't have liberty in Christ for that. Isaiah said, we were looking at something about Lewis and I think it was Lewis and Clark, and they were trying to befriend these Indians when they were on their trail, and they went to this one tribe, and they would give them these trinkets and these things to try to win them, and they also gave them some whiskey. And one of the Indians told them, why would you give us something that makes us fools? Isn't that what the Bible says? One is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Not wise, you're a fool. But Christians don't know that anymore. That's a limitation, brother. I know. I could stay here all night, but I don't want to. Psalm 119, verse 44 and 45. So shall I keep thy law continually forever. Why? And I will walk at liberty. I got liberty in Christ. I can do whatever I want. Hold on. Read the rest of the verse. For I seek thy precepts. Huh. Where did the liberty come? And being able to do whatever I want because I'm saved? No. Liberty comes from keeping God's laws. Sin brings bondage. Amen. Obeying God's word brings freedom. Children, yeah. Well, okay. Letter B. We got to get going because I could stay here all night. They want their own way. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Look, that is inherent in our sinful flesh, in our DNA. We want our own way. Children want their own way. That little Oswald, from the time he's a month or two old, he wants his own way. And by the way, they I know this, they're babies, they're so lovable, but they get it pretty early what they want. They cry, mommy picks me up, if I do this, I get that. Hey, it works out nicely. Why? They want their own way. By the way, so do you and I. We just hide it better. We don't cry and throw a hissy fit, right? We just know how to kind of, we spiritualize it. We know how to hide it so no one sees what we're doing. But we all want our own way. That's how we are. That's our flesh. But if we don't grow in the faith and we stay a babe, that becomes inbred into our Christianity. Someone that stays a babe is a Christian, or they're still in that babe stage, they'll struggle with wanting their own way. And then they'll try to Christianize it. I've met many people who I've thought, they're Christian rebels. We need to be careful. A baby Christian sees Christianity and church membership as self-serving, something that they seek to see what they need and what they want without any thought to others or needs. See, it's all about me. Jesus fulfills my needs. Remember we talked Sunday night about in a marriage, you have to be very careful about that. You ask most people, hey, why did you marry her? Well, she met my needs, and she did this for me, and she was this. It's like, hey, what about you? What are you doing for her? It ought to be, I love that lady. I'm going to make sure that I get her for the rest of my life, and I can take care of her. We don't think like that. Why? Because that, and we bring that into our Christianity, so we need to be very careful. If we're like this, we'll have trouble in all relationships, including church member relationships. Now, by the way, A new person comes in and sometimes, you know, they get frustrated. Hey, listen, a baby Christian's a baby Christian. Give them some space. They're going forward. That first time your little Oswald, when you brought him home and you had him for a while and they threw a tantrum, you didn't take him back to the hospital and said, I don't want this kid. I thought everything was going to be honky-dory. No. That's just, he's acting like a baby. That's how they act. Be understanding. If we're not careful in our relationships because we want our own way, our goal, and we have a conflict with somebody, whether it's in our family, a friend, or whatever, and so our goal is to win. Why? Because they see it as nothing more than it's a power struggle. Can I get my way? So they become critical. Very critical. And by the way, instead of handling, the way you handle a conflict between Christians, just so you know, is not to seek to get your own way, it's to get together and hash it out. Well, I can't believe that person acted like this, or this person acted like that, or this happened there. Hey, we're human. Sometimes we have rough times. But what people do is they take to gather people to their side. Be on my side. And now, with the world of social media, we'll go on our social media and tell somebody about a conflict that has nothing to do with them, and we're not truthful about what happened, to try to gather to our side. Listen, don't believe what everybody says. There are two sides to every story. Okay, I remember when we had a singles class, the pastor took the singles class from us, split it up into class, said, you start a couples class. And so my wife and I went out making visits on prospects, and it's going to be great, couples, you know. Singles, you know, you have to visit one to get one person there. Couples, you visit one, you get two. Hey, this ought to be better. And we went out on a Tuesday night, and we visited two couples. Neither, in both cases, only one spouse was home, and in both cases, the one that was home unloaded on the one that wasn't home. And after the second visit, we got in the car. I said, all right, honey, let me just explain how this is going to work. I said, there are two sides to every story. It's not as bad as he says it is. It's not as bad as she says it is. And there's another side to the story. But when we're immature, we don't care about that because what? We want our own way. And we all have to fight that. Letter C. They need daily nourishment. Says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That kid needs to be fed right away. Why do they wake up in the middle of the night when you first bring them home from the hospital? I thought they did that just to irritate the parents. No. Man, when they're hungry, they got to have it now. They're going to let you know. I need it. I'm starving. I need that nourishment. They need it. They're not going to grow. Listen, at that age, they got to grow. One of our kids, I think it may have been Emily, when she first brought her home, she lost ounces the first couple weeks, which is natural. Kid usually, right when they're born, a couple weeks, they'll lose an ounce or two, and then poof, they take off. But she, you know, for a few weeks, she was losing a couple ounces, and the doctor's like, hey, we need to just make sure of this, give her double feeding. So I wanted to help out. My wife was feeding her, and then when I was giving her pizza, whatever she needed, you know, just shove it down her throat, she's going to grow. But they need nourishment. They need that, and they'll let you know. It's the only thing that will help them grow and progress them to the next levels, and that's the same for us. How often do you physically eat each day? Two, three times a day, right? How many times do you spiritually eat a day? You know, we all need the Word of God on a daily basis. If you ain't as much spirit, look, you say, man, I want to lose some weight. I'm going to help you. For most Christians, here's how you could do it. Eat as many times during the day as you spend with God during the day. We may have the skinniest church in America. Just kidding. Man, you'd say, okay, I'm starving. I better go read another chapter so I can grab a hot dog, okay? You know. Read your Bibles early tomorrow. We're going to the park for the picnic, all right? But we have to have a desire. By the way, if the key to getting into the Word of God, and I know we struggle with it, and I know good intentions, you desire it, and sometimes you let your schedule mess it up. That's why you got to really, really nail it down. Get yourself a schedule when you're going to do it each time. Follow a list if you need to do that. But he says the key is, as newborn babes, the next word is desire. God, I want to have a desire. By the way, I would question a person who's a Christian but has no desire for God's word. No desire. Christianity is not a religion. We just do certain things because we're supposed to. It's a relationship with God. Amen. And part of that relationship is letting the Lord speak to us. He does that through his word. So I encourage you, get that desire for it. And then find a way, give yourself a schedule so you can do it. And then letter D. They have little understanding. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Okay? Why could he not speak to them on a higher level? Because they couldn't get it. They don't have understanding. Babies don't understand. They do all kinds of off-the-wall things. We've had it happen, and my wife has a daycare, and it happens. Sometimes kids will get in the habit where they like to play with their diaper. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. One of the kids, he was taking a nap, and he got into his diaper, and his diaper had stuff in it. And he had it all over him. And he was wearing it. And he thought it was chocolate pudding or something. He was all into it. Say, that's disgusting. He doesn't understand that. To him, it's like chocolate Play-Doh. It's like, hey, look what I found. He doesn't get it. Babes have a hard time understanding things. That's why, you know, be very careful. We don't need in our church, we don't need spiritual police. A new convert comes in. Look, my Bible you using? Listen, I'm all for the King James. All for it. And we don't use the King James just because we want to get up and yell about it. It's something to yell about. By the way, Christians that are changing their view about marriage and all these other things, well, the Bibles they're using cannot prove that stuff's wrong because they've changed the words. It's a big deal. But somebody walks in and they have a New American Standard. It's like, brother, what do you got in your hand, man? You can use that for toilet paper. That's not helpful. Okay? That's not helpful. Let them grow. Okay? Let them get it. You know what they need? You go to the kids and listen, quit playing with your diaper. Doesn't get it. They need love. They need nurturing. And they need nourishment. Get them in the Word of God. They'll grow. And they'll learn those things. And they'll have a desire to learn those things. By the way, you know what the best thing about babies are? Is when they grow, amen? Man, they don't have to wear diapers anymore. When they get old enough, they can clean themselves up, take their own baths, take care of all that stuff. It's like, amen. To deal with it. Look at the little bullet there. The main goal for a baby Christian, and we mentioned it already, is this: growth. Help them grow. That's why listen, you're the Thursday night crowd, let me say this and we'll be done. And we'll get a little farther in the coming weeks. We had a little bit of an introduction here. But when you're here on Sunday morning and you see newer people, or maybe they start coming on Sunday or whatever, be an encouragement to them. That's what they need. They need encouragement. How you doing? I just remember when I was new in the church there, some guys, particularly Greg Beard, right, the bookstore. Great guy. He saw I had a little desire because I'd go back there. Back then, you know, no internet or any of that. You had to buy the If you wanted the message, you had to buy the tapes. So I'd go every week and buy a cassette or two to listen to. And he saw that, and he, and by the way, I wasn't dressed right. I looked like I still was, down on the beach. He ought to read this book. I think this would be great for prayers asking. I think he told me to read that one. He gave me books on Bible study. Didn't say a thing to me, but he knew I had a desire. And he fanned that flames, and I grew. Let's fan the flames. Let's be kind to every new person that comes in. By the way, let's befriend them. It's so easy on a Sunday morning just to talk to our the people we know because we have more in common. It's natural. It's okay. But, you know, we need to get out of our comfort zone. The thing that frustrates me, I'm not complaining to you because I get it sometimes. As soon as I get done here, like four people want to talk to me. I want to get outside and talk to new people. So, and it's nobody in here. It's usually other people in my class. But I want to get out there and just talk to new people. And how you doing? And get to know them, encourage them, and love them. And so we can help them on that path. Amen. Okay? You don't yell at your baby. All right. I know at the hospital, they let you take it easy. But you're home now, cowboy. Kid's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Let's love them. Now, by the way, if you've been a Christian for a while and some of these, and you say, man, I think I'm still a baby, just go forward. That's it. Start growing in your faith. So, man, I'm going to learn some things from God's word. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get this thing. Let's pray.